From Vermont Public Radio, this is The Frequency. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. Today on the podcast, a first responder keeps an audio diary of his experience working during COVID-19.
I don't know, you can't help but think if this is somehow impacted by everything going on. People reluctant to visit, people reluctant to check on someone.
First, today's headlines.
The spread of the coronavirus continues to be limited in Vermont. The health department reported 6 new known cases of COVID-19 on Sunday, and only 5 people are currently hospitalized. 53 people have died with the disease, and 777 people have recovered. Governor Phil Scott is scheduled to give an update on Vermont's response to the pandemic at a press conference today.
And today is the start of finals week at Northern Vermont University, but teachers at the school are already trying to figure out what the fall semester will look like. The Vermont State College System and UVM both plan to bring students back to campus this fall, but Philip Robertson, who teaches printmaking at NVU Johnson, says instructors know that they'll need a plan B.
What if there's a second wave and we have to close campus again and go online?
And as an art instructor, Robertson says he's thinking about how best to spend fees for materials so students will have the ability to make art in the campus studio as well as at home if needed.
So a lot of things are different these days. But you know what sounds different? Hospitals.
Can I see your forehead? Any new cough or fever today? Have you been tested for COVID?
That's at the Brattleboro Memorial Hospital, where every visitor gets screened for COVID-19. And aside from that, things have been quiet.
It's been almost 2 months since the hospital postponed all elective surgeries and turned its operating room into a 17-bed emergency respiratory unit for COVID-19 patients. They've had a few, but most of the beds are empty. Hospital CEO Steve Gordon says BMH is ready to begin serving the community again, even on a limited basis.
I think we've been incredibly well prepared over the last several weeks during this pandemic. But I think people are now focused on what the future is going to hold and how we can get back to normal operations and reopen the hospital.
Last week, Governor Phil Scott said hospitals can begin offering some outpatient procedures as well as clinic visits and x-rays. But this is limited. The hospital still can't offer overnight procedures, and there's a long list of precautions that staff and patients have to follow. Gordon says it'll be a gradual reopening.
We want to be very careful, very cautious, so as not to create another surge or a surge of additional patients.
Vermont's hospitals were losing money even before the huge financial impact of the pandemic. And when they had to cancel all of their elective procedures to prepare for a COVID outbreak, it made everything worse. Brattleboro Memorial expects to lose about $7 million, and the University of Vermont Health Network said it expects to lose about $152 million due to the pandemic.
Vermont Association of Hospitals and Health Systems President Jeff Thiemann said the state's hospitals have received federal help, but most of it has been in loans that have to be repaid.
It's not like these dollars, you know, put hospitals on a long-term stable path. It's very much a stopgap measure.
The lost revenue into the system can be measured in millions of dollars per week, which is almost unbelievable.
That's Trey Dobson, chief medical officer at Southwestern Vermont Medical Center in Bennington. He says the additional income from elective procedures will have an immediate impact.
But will people come? Jeff Thiemann with the Hospitals Association says he hopes they will, but it's unclear if the public is ready.
We now have the ability to safely move back into doing non-urgent procedures and both meet pent-up patient demand and begin to see our hospitals, hopefully, stabilize financially. But that could take quite a bit of time because we also don't know how fast patients are going to come back.
And back at Southwestern Vermont Medical Center, Trey Dobson wants patients to understand that they won't be walking into the same hospital.
So it will be normal for us to be wearing personal protective equipment, and it will be normal for us to have patients spaced apart and actually waiting in the parking lot in their cars until they're called to come up and be seen so that we can keep everybody safe.
And Dobson also said that while the hospital will take down its emergency COVID unit, it'll also keep the equipment nearby in case there's a surge in the fall. Howard Weiss-Tisman reported that story.
And Anna, I know you've been curious about how emergency medical service workers have been doing during the pandemic, so you got in touch with some of them, right?
Yeah, that's right. I asked a bunch of people at Essex Rescue to make recordings during their shifts. Patrick Crowley is one of the people who sent me recordings. So here's his audio diary.
So I'm here on a Thursday night. It's 6:50. I started my shift at 5:45 tonight, and about 15 minutes later, we had our first call.
Dispatch Essex Rescue Town First Response.
ADS Essex Street copies tones and is responding.
Dispatched as possible untimely. So sadly, that's a person suspected to have died in their home. We responded and entered the home and just confirmed the signs of death. Part of being a first responder is learning how to deal with that. But you're left with so many questions. I mean, we don't know what led to this person's death. We don't know exactly how long he was there, but it appeared to have been there a while. And yeah, I don't know if it's the result of what we're dealing with COVID or not. I'm getting another call right now. So I'm here sitting in the driver's seat of our ambulance, Essex 2. On our second call, got a face mask on and goggles, but I'm not inside at the call because one of the things we're doing is just trying to limit the number of people we put inside a house, the number of people we have in the back of the ambulance with patients. And of course, if we had a call where we needed a larger crew, of course, I would put PPE on and help out. But in this case, I'm just waiting to see if they need any help.
PD Essex 2.
First.
Transporting.
Channel 1.
We've arrived at the medical center.
Correct.
As I sit here waiting for my crew to wrap up the call, I'm noticing a lot of signs around this side of the hospital and messages of thanks and gratitude to all the healthcare workers. And, you know, I was thinking about how I volunteer to do this once, maybe sometimes a couple times a week. And after I'm done, I go back home and I go to work and I stay home. And it's just really different for people that do this day in, day out as their job. You know, I'm just feeling a lot of gratitude for all those folks. It's just after 1 a.m. on Thursday night. I am busy trying to complete a report for our third call. Sometimes you're about ready to go to sleep, but you got to finish the paperwork. And we got a lot of extra questions related to COVID, just in terms of what we wore on scene and what the answers to some of the COVID screening questions were and all that. Hoping to just finish up this report and maybe we can see if we can get some sleep. It's 4:55 in the morning. Last call was hours ago. Got a few hours of sleep. Not sure why I'm awake, but I'm awake. Thinking back to our first call, the person that had died in their home. You know, this person had 30-something messages on their home phone and the answering machine in their house. I don't know, you can't help but think if this is somehow impacted by everything going on. People reluctant to visit. People reluctant to check on someone. We just obviously don't know what happened, but comes to mind for sure. And then the other thing I guess I'm thinking about is we had two calls today where there are sort of loved ones that really wanted to come with us in the ambulance or fall close behind. And we have to tell people that we can't have anyone in the ambulance with us, with only a few exceptions for super critical patients. And then that they are not allowing visitors in the hospital. Again, same exceptions. I'm just thinking about like the husband who saw his wife going to the hospital tonight with us. I imagine he's back at home in the middle of the night thinking, wondering what the update is. And of course, we relay the hospital his phone number, and I'm sure the hospital's really great about calling family members and keeping them updated in lieu of having visitors there, but it's not the same. I wouldn't be surprised at this point if there's some sort of new normal, but all this could also be because I'm awake at 4:58 in the morning. Anyway, I'm here for about another hour. We'll see what the morning brings. All right, it is
exactly 7 o'clock in the morning. Shift is over, has been for a little over an hour. Just caught up with the day crew for a while and did my last temperature check before I could leave the building. All good. And ready to go home and work. Yeah, do my day job.
Patrick Crowley is a volunteer EMT with Essex Rescue. I edited his audio diary, and I actually got recordings from a bunch of volunteer EMTs. So, quick shout out to Peter Mutolo, Caitlin Douglas, and Nick Lemon for sending me those. And I actually want to play a little bit of what Caitlin sent me. She and two other EMTs, Ian Sewell and Alexandra Alvarez, sat around on their shift and asked each other some questions.
How do you think the coronavirus has changed what we do on a normal shift?
Everything's slower. It's slower because you have to put on your PPE before you go into a call. No matter what's happening, no matter if the patient's bleeding out, if they're dead and they need CPR, like we have to make sure that we have all of our PPE on before we can go and help that patient. So that's slower. And then we have to decon our ambulance. And that makes things slower for turnaround to be able to take the next call.
I think besides that, it just kind of goes back to the more human aspects of what I think we can provide as a service, because a lot of times when we go to calls, we can't necessarily fix what is happening to our patient, but we can provide them with support. I think one of the things that can help them is getting to see our faces and see that we're able to reassure them with eye contact and smiles. And it's really tough to be looking at someone through a foggy set of glasses and a foggy face shield, knowing they can't quite see you back and they can't see your mouth or hear you talking. But I wouldn't even say that it feels weird now. It feels
normal.
Super normal.
The new normal.
I was up in the Arctic Circle for a bit for the Army. I'm in the National Guard. I was up there for about a month. And when I left, there was 3 or 4 cases in Washington. And those were the only ones in the United States. And I came back to a much different world than the one I left. As I crossed the border back from Canada to the United States, I got service again. All of my texts and calls and emails for the past month came in, and it was like UVM's closed. All the stores are closed. Like, you know, all this craziness going on with Essex Rescue. I had like 1,000 emails. And my first Zoom call, I thought it was just like a live video. I was in my pretty standard layout, which was I was shirtless playing guitar, and I was just like strumming away. And there I was on camera, shirtless, playing guitar in front of like 100-person class. And I put my hand over the camera.
And now a look at the Eye on the Sky forecast for today. Still chilly and breezy, with rain showers likely and possibly mixed with snow in some places. Highs in the upper 40s and low to mid 50s. Thanks for listening to The Frequency. If you have questions, suggestions, or just want to say hi, you can email us at thefrequency@vpr.org. This episode featured reporting from Howard Weiss-Tisman and Amy Kolb-Noyes.
Our music is by Blue Dot Sessions, and our executive producer is Mark Davis. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. Talk to you tomorrow.
Can you do the You Got a Friend in Me?
But you got a friend.